was the best free agent as a free agent, not the best free agent that became the greatest major league player. The best free agent as a free agent that you ever saw. Now, I'll tell you who it was. It was Rick Monday. You know that name?
I can believe it.
With the guy with the Cubs, Dodgers.
Yeah, Oakland. Sure.
Yeah. Rick Monday's the best free agent. And a lot of these things I'm talking about, incidentally, you have to realize the guy that ended up signing them or acquiring them or doing something with them was Charlie Finley. Rick mm-hmm. Monday, Reggie mm-hmm. Jackson.
Bando.
Yeah. Vida Blue.
Yeah. Yep. Well, old Charlie left his mark on baseball. There's no doubt about
that. I'll tell you, Charlie was a guy that he didn't have a big organization. He didn't need
no.
He didn't overload his organization with people or salaries.
That's right.
Charlie would pick everybody's brain. He'd call all around the country, talk to people like me. And I knew what he was doing, but I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. And he'd say, you know, what's your report show? And he'd get around it to the point where it didn't look like, he made it look like he was... You know, you're just interested.
Just
you really know what you're talking about, Bing. Tell me about this player. What do you have on? What do you know about? And I'd tell him. Well, he put all these things together, but he was smart enough mm-hmm. not to let any one overpower. He just put it all together and evaluated it and came up with the right answer. You know, he wasn't a scout. He didn't scout by the blue in his fastball. But he could put together what people said about it and make something out of it.
Mm-hmm. He really could.
Yeah. And so he could probably did more with less than anybody that I've ever known.
I think that's true. And he had, for 3 years there, he had a short-term dynasty.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that's another dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, the manager that I always thought was perhaps the best manager I ever really lived with day in and day out was Jimmy Keith.
I wanted to ask you, why did he not make it in with the Yankees?
Johnny Keith, he was just out of his element. Johnny Keene had been an organization man. He'd been in the minor leagues with the Cardinals. He really was a Cardinal man.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got into another organization with other personalities and other people that went another direction, he just really didn't adjust to it. I'll tell you another thing. The Yankees were just over the hill. They were going downhill at that point.
Exactly.
So he got them just at the wrong time. And I don't think the players respected Keene. I don't think they resented him or rejected him. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't fit. I don't even think he fit in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work. That's mm-hmm. all.
Yeah.
And then before he had a chance to probably get back and regain his stature somewhere else, he had that attack and died.
Yeah.
Johnny Keene was the best. But I'll tell you, the fellow I think maybe knew the most about baseball, all overall, in and out, particularly on the field, and particularly evaluating talent that I ever saw, was Eddie Stanky.
Is that right?
Eddie Stanky, the unfortunate thing about Eddie Stanky is he couldn't be that smart and let things happen. He kind of had to go overboard. It was an overkill for Stanky.
Yeah.
He really knew so much, and knew he knew so much, that he couldn't contain himself. You know, he couldn't find a middle ground where he said, okay, I know this, but I know I can't force this on this person. So I'll have to let it ride till he finds out about it.
He, I think, showed himself to be pretty smart when he took over as manager of the Rangers and after one game says, that's it.
Yeah, that was pretty smart. He knew it just didn't fit. He didn't fit anymore.
No, that's right. Yeah.
He had just taken over the Rangers and he called me from when he had and we talked a little bit. I congratulated him, said, good luck, I can help you. The next day, you know, the day he quit. He managed the club one game.
Yeah.
And when I get in the office that morning, my secretary, you said you had an urgent call from Eddie Stanky, who left, couldn't leave work because he's traveling, but said he'd call you the next stop he made. I said, what the heck do you mean? He's traveling with Minnesota. What's it? I mean, with the Rangers in Minnesota. He said, I don't know, but that's the message he left. Well, somewhere within a couple hours, he called me from somewhere else and said, I've left. Well, of course, I read the story.
Well, you probably think that Whitey's a pretty good manager, too.
Whitey, I said at this dinner I went to some weeks ago for Herzog, I said, the truth of the matter is that there's only two managers I can think of that that by the very nature of their background and their success and their personality, kind of intimidated other clubs and other players without doing much except just being themselves, and that was Casey Stengel and Whitey Herzog.
That's a good combination.
And the important thing is, not only does he intimidate them, I mean, to the point where they think, well, yeah, the chances are he's going to do something that'll make, that'll
turn the tide.
It'll help them and be against us. Not only that, but they respect him, like him at the same time.
That's
and
right.
If you notice that players that are traded from... There are players that are traded from the Cardinals,
yeah.
Even if sometimes they look like they're traded under circumstances that aren't ideal for them, they'll never really want to say anything about Herzog because they know that, that people will say, what the heck is he saying something bad about Whitey? Whitey can't, but Whitey's done everything right. You know, why would he be saying something? They think they'll look bad saying something bad about him.
Yeah.
They don't say anything bad
yeah.
about him. In fact, they say something good, mm-hmm. even if they may not think that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he's good. There's no question about it. Yeah. Of the present crop of managers around the majors, nobody quite touches him, I don't think. Craig may in time move in that direction.
There's a test of time, too.
Yes.
A lot of ball players
yeah.
that play well for 1 or 2 years. That's why there's very few superstars, the guys that can do it over 12,
yeah.
15.
That's right. I thought the Padres missed the boat. When Craig left Detroit after the 84 season, he was living right outside of San Diego, you know, where his home is, and the Padres pretty clearly were anxious to dump Dick Williams as soon as they could. And they might have gotten Craig at the end of the year, but the Giants beat him to the draw and took him in the, during the season, and so they've got him. Bing, I appreciate it.
The first deal I ever made was a Curt Flood deal.
No.
Very first deal. Went to Colorado Springs where we had the meetings
yeah.
out there, and Gabe Paul and Fred Hutchinson, Gabe Paul and Bertie Tebbets
mm-hmm.
was the manager of Cincinnati for
mm-hmm.
Gabe Paul, and Fred Hutchinson was my manager,
mm-hmm.
and we had the meeting in San Francisco or in Colorado Springs, and we started talking about this deal. They want some pitching. We toward the end of the meeting, and Gabe in effect
yeah.
said, Gabe's the only guy I ever saw from general manager, and it's not like. And even though you insisted you weren't going to make a deal with him, he'd try and talk you into it. The only general manager, most general managers say, well, if you're not going to do it, you're
yeah.
not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Dave would sit there for 3 hours trying to talk you into it, tell you why you should make it for your good. Not
yeah.
for his, but for your good. And so Gabe was talking about this deal, and he needed pitching. And he'd gone to the end of the meeting, and they'd made big splash of stories in Cincinnati. They were going to get pitching, and they hadn't gotten it. So he said, you're my last chance. We're going to sit down and talk about a deal tonight. We went up. We missed the dinner. They have a big dinner the last night.
Mm-hmm.
We went up in the suite, I guess Gabe Paul's suite, and started talking the deal. We got around the point where we were going to put three pitchers in the deal. There were Willard Schmidt, Marty Cattina, and Ted Wiehan. And we were, and the guy they brought up was Curt Flood. We'd never played the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Hutchinson said to me, finally, we went to separate rooms after several hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Hutchinson said, let me tell you something, make this deal. He said, I've heard enough about it, read enough about Flood, and heard from scouts about it, that I know he's going to help, and I know he's worth taking a chance, even though he's not ready to play in the big league.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You want cottage cheese? Okay.
It's time for cottage cheese.
Yeah. It's a ham sandwich and cottage cheese.
Yeah.
He has every one. And so I said, fine. I was scared, I'll admit, as I think back, because this was my first
yeah.
deal. And we talked, Dick Meyer was with us again, and he
yeah.
was kind of listening, and he was a great executive in that he knew how to let you do your thing, but
mm-hmm.
still give you advice. And he said, well, you know, if Hutchinson likes him that much, and we need to make a deal too, and go ahead, let's make the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Joe Taylor thrown in on the deal, which was virtually nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what Flood became? That was a pretty good first deal, too.
It's can't hard to beat that one
that's
for a
right.
first deal.
Except for the Brock deal. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And those two paired for years out there in the outer gardens for the benefit of the Cardinals. Okay.
All right.
I think I've taken enough of your time.
Well,